Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are pressing on in 2 Samuel up to the 23rd chapter now. And this chapter starts off with an interesting first verse. So let's just read it. I'm reading from the ESV, the English Standard Version right now. Got three others open right here if we need to refer to them. And the first verse says this. Now these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, the son of Jesse, the oracle of the man who was raised on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel. So that's the first verse. So what do we see here? Well, it starts in the beginning saying, hey, these are the last words of David. Well, are these the last words of David? Because I know there's another chapter in the book. And I know that in the next book, 1 Kings, in the first two chapters, David speaks there. So what is this talking about? Well, this is not saying that these are the last words that David said when he was on his deathbed, that type of thing. But I think the emphasis we see here is what gives the hint. The oracle of David, the oracle of the man who was raised on high. So this is his last prophetic oracle, for lack of a better term, okay? This is his last oracle that he gave in that sense as a prophetic thing. He would have said other things and done other things, and we'll see some of those. So what do we learn here? Well, he gives some detail, the writer of 2 Samuel, of which David this is. This is David, the son of Jesse. So it gives his lineage. It shows that the kingship truly belonged to the line of Judah. And then he shows what God had actually done for him. The oracle of the man who was raised on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob. The Lord is the one who raised him on high. The Lord is the one who anointed him. So he's anointed by God. Then it closes out with this phrase. Well, the first verse does. The sweet psalmist of Israel. In the King James, New American Standard, ESV, all says that. The Lexham says this. The darling of the songs of Israel. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? You know, every time I see darling, you know what I'm thinking of. You ever watched Andy Griffith growing up or since? The Darlings were that family that always sang some really, really good bluegrass. Hey, the Darlings. The boys that played that part, by the way, were actually a bluegrass band named the Dillards. But in the episodes, they were the Darlings. But the emphasis is a little different. The sweet psalmist of Israel. Okay. So it's talking about how he is the psalmist of Israel, the sweet psalmist. But the Lexham says the darling of the songs of Israel. And there could be a different emphasis there, depending upon how you read it and how you emphasize some stuff. The darling of the songs of Israel, does that mean that the songs that Israel sing speak of David as being the psalmist, the darling? Is it saying the same thing the other translation said, which I sort of think it may be, but there's a little more to it, and I'm not sure. So verse 2 says this, the Spirit of the Lord speaks by me. His word is on my tongue. So David is letting us know what these words are and how this comes about, that it is of the Lord. And that the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Yahweh, is the one who's speaking through him, that his very words are on David's tongue. And then David picks up a theme that we've seen throughout already. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me, when one rules justly over men, ruling in the fear of God, he dawns on them like the morning light, and like the sun shining forth on a cloudless morning, like rain that makes grass to sprout from the earth. So David, again, is waxing poetic here, very much the psalmist, right? So what's he saying? He's saying that the God of Israel has spoken, and that the God of Israel, the Rock of Israel, had said to him. And then he tells us what the Lord said. And the Lord says this, when one rules justly over men, ruling in the fear of God, then he's like something. So he's showing what a true king, what a righteous king would be like. One who rules justly over men and one who rules in the fear of God. Now, sadly, we have very, very, very little of that in any culture today, particularly in the United States. Those who rule justly, those who rule in the fear of God. Okay? We have many that will give lip service to God in some form or fashion, but not really ruling in the fear of God. But then David says this in verse 4 about this king, says that the one that rules correctly, that he dawns on them like the morning light, like the sun shining forth on a cloudless morning, like rain that makes grass to sprout from the earth. So he's saying that someone who is like this brings forth the rays of life, okay? Like the sun shining forth in the cloudless day, like rain. He's like the morning light. He makes grass to sprout on the earth. Then verse 5, for does not my house stand so with God? And he says, isn't my house like this? And by his house, he means his offspring. And he had many, many, many by then. He had many wives, many offspring. And he said, our house, my house is like this. Why? Verse 5. For he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. For will he not cause to prosper all my help and my desire? So he's saying, God has made a covenant with me, and God's going to execute that covenant. God's going to make it happen, going to bring it about in his own time and in his own way. It may be that he wants to do it ahead of my life. It may be afterwards. I've had a couple of times when I've actually had some, how do you say it, dead life experiences, right? People who have died, things like that. And what occurs at that moment? David had been there, okay? David knew what it was. And he's saying, you know what? My house, the Lord has made an everlasting covenant. He has ordered all things. He secured all things. And not only that, he's prospering. He is my very help and my desire. And then he closes out this song, this thought, this oracle, with a verse. Verse 6 and 7 says this. But, okay, so you got a but there. This is in juxtaposition of what we just saw about the righteous king. But worthless men are all like thorns that are thrown away, for they cannot be taken with the hand. But the man who touches them arms himself with iron and the shaft of a spear, and they are utterly consumed with fire. So the short of it is this. He's saying these worthless men, they're going to be like thorns, and they're going to be cast away in the fire, and they're going to be consumed and done away with. That's what he's learned in his life. That's what he's sharing at the end of his life. So it sort of begs a question for us personally. You know, where do we stand? Are we among the worthless? Are we among the kings? If you're a true believer, if you've repented and confessed, then you are a king. You are. And you need to know what the Lord says about you in his word. That's one of the major reasons we need to read the word of God, to know who God is and to know who we are in him. Most people who are true believers do not know who they are in the Most High God. Well, again, I'm Dale. Hey, thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode.